This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
truth, and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to see Jesus, you've got to live right.
You must be saved.
You must be saved from all of your sins.
Marvel not.
Marvel not. You must be born again. You must come in at the door. You must come in at the door. You must.
Bless you, choir. Y'all sound mighty good. Amen. Both our children and our adults, we thank God for our music ministry. As we stand all over this place, Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. We pray, oh God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word that will remind us that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. We thank you. We give you praise. We honor you now in Jesus' name. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. We thank you for these blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles or if you don't have your Bibles and you're standing with us, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Amen. Chapter 3, Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'll give y'all a moment because I know that's a book we don't, well, y'all got smartphones now. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to read for your hearing verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Amen. For just a few moments this morning, I want to talk about a yet praise, a yet praise. Ask your, turn to that neighbor, and I said, I wasn't going to do this anymore. Never mind, just sit down. Amen. All right. Somebody said, Pastor, if you tell me to turn to my neighbor one more time. All right, so we're not going to do that. A yet praise, a yet praise. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. One of the most amazing miracles of human history was the way slaves of the antebellum South were able to come together and worship God excitedly and energetically in the midst of damnable and despicable conditions. They had very few external signs that God was on their side. It would have been easy for them to be swallowed up in bitterness and the dark night of the soul. These slaves had been dehumanized on every front. They were snatched from their homeland, forced to work from sunup to sundown, and paid nothing. Their families were often torn apart. Some worked on one plantation while other members of the family were sent to another plantation. It would have been easy under those circumstances to give up on God. But some way or another, they were able to produce songs and praise that contradicted what they were going through. They would go to church on Sunday with the slave master and just kind of endure that process. Amen. They would tolerate those services, but at night, that's why I wanted to sing that song, amen. During the offertory period, they would gather down by the riverside. And that's where they really got their praise on. They would get together at night by the river and have church. Amen, amen. The spirit of what these slaves were able to do is very much connected to the spirit of the prophet in our text this morning. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19 has been called one of the greatest expressions of faith in all of the Bible. Now, I know that there are a whole lot of powerful scriptures in the Bible that give affirmations of faith, a whole lot of them, and I love them, amen, and I know you love many of them. I'm talking about passages like Job, when Job declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'm talking about passages like over in Isaiah, where the prophet Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm talking about passages, amen, like Solomon, when Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. I'm talking about passages like that first number of Psalms, one that I love, that says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Come on, give God some praise. Those are some mighty good passages, amen. Those are some strong statements, but this one that we're looking at today, in my opinion, stands head and shoulders above the rest. This verse is called an inimitable statement of faith because it reaffirms the fact that the real genius of faith lies in its ability to stand up in the midst of struggle. Oh my, oh my, oh my. My brothers and sisters, one's level of faith is not determined by what faith does in prosperity. Your level of faith cannot be determined by how you're doing when things are going well. Instead, it is determined by what faith does in adversity. Is there anybody here this morning who's been through trouble? You've been through pain. You've been through heartache. And you got to testify that the only reason you're still standing is because of your faith in God. I wonder if we can get some praise for faith this morning. You really don't know how much faith you have until you experience adversity. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 is a strong expression of faith. However, faith is not necessarily expressed throughout this whole book. If you read the entire book of Habakkuk, you will discover that it ain't all about faith. There is some doubt expressed in this book. There are some complaints in this book. There are some questions regarding theodicy in this book. And if you don't know what theodicy, amen, is questioning God's, how God's handle folk as it relates to justice. You know, because sometimes, amen, when you talk about justice, it looks like just us. Do I have any witnesses here today? Seems like the prisons are full of just us. It seems like the courtrooms are full of just us. And other folk can do the same stuff or worse and delay it so long that it don't ever come to trial. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. There are some arguments with God in this book of Habakkuk. At first, it appears as though God was not on the side of his people. They had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and many of them were exiled to Babylon. The land of Judah had been destroyed by the invaders. Their crops were failing and their livestock were dying. Holy places had been desecrated. Those who were not on God's side were prospering. Consequently, the prophet wondered whether or not the Lord had gone on vacation. Amen. Have any of you ever been there? You've been in the midst of your trial and your pain and your heartache, and you had to scratch your head and say, where is God? where the heck is God? That's what I was going to say. Amen. The holy places had been desecrated. Those who were not on God's side were prospering. Habakkuk commenced his speech with the question, how long shall I cry and you don't hear me? And do I have any witnesses in Pleasant Hill this morning who understand that sometimes, amen, when you're going through certain trials, it's not so much about the trial itself. The question comes, just Lord, but how long? Amen. I can handle this a little while, but God, I got to ask you, how long? How long do I have to go through it? How long will the pain last? How long will the turmoil be? You can handle certain experiences if you just know how long you got to endure it. Habakkuk is distressed, y'all. Throughout the book, he's distressed. But at the end of the day, he's able to say in verses 17 and 18 of this chapter, he says, although the fig shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He says, yet. Let me hear somebody say, yet. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Notice that all of Habakkuk's complaints and questions were in the beginning of the book. And life is like that sometimes. Amen. It's not necessarily how you feel about the Lord at the beginning of the day that's important. It's how you feel about him at the end of the day. Can I tell you, it's all right to get down on your knees with despair and doubt, but when you get off your knees, you ought to be able to say with the prophet, although I'm going through some stuff, I'm still going to praise God. Y'all, Habakkuk is somehow able to release toward heaven a yet praise. By the time we get to the end of this book, the prophet finishes on a level of joy. He goes from complaint to celebration with prayer in between. Let me back up and rewind and say that again. He goes from complaint to celebration with prayer in between. Y'all missed it. I'm trying to tell you that prayer is the bridge between the two. Is there anybody here who knows that the only way to move from complaint to celebration is through having a talk with God? The only way to get from the valley to the mountain is by having a talk with God. The only way to get from the wilderness to the promised land, you better learn how to have a talk with God. Mama was right when she said, just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. Give him praise if you know there's power. There's power in prayer. In that time of communication, you can be honest with God. I'm trying to tell you something about prayer. You know, a lot of folk think that to pray, you got to have good English and good grammar. Amen. I come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God is able to decipher between the double negatives, between the messed up conjunctions. God is able to decipher when the period ain't in the right place, when the comma's not in the right place. God is able to look and read between all of that and hear what your heart is saying. You better have a little talk with him. And sometimes it's good just to be honest with him. Can I be real? Can I be transparent? In my prayer life, sometimes, Deacon Smith, I've cried. Sometimes I've complained. Sometimes I've cussed. And what I found out is that God is able to handle all of that. Do I have any witnesses here today? God can transform all of that negativity into a praise. Is there anybody here that can say, I got a praise, I got a praise, got a praise, got a praise, I got a praise? And can you say that in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your pain? How many of you have a yet praise? I got a yet praise. He was aware of the situation. I don't want to fool y'all into thinking that the reason he had a praise is because he was unaware. No, he was very much aware of what was happening. He was not blind to what was happening. Amen. He did not have what I call escapism. Some folk are only able to give God praise because they block it out of their mind what they're going through. I have come by Pleasant Hill this morning to tell you that you, in order to worship God in spirit and in truth, real worship acknowledges that the fig tree ain't growing, the vine ain't producing, the olive crop has failed, there are no sheep in the pen, there are no cattle in the stalls. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that real worship acknowledges that my money is funny and my change is strange. Real worship acknowledges that my bills are this high and my money is this high. Real worship acknowledges that the marriage is on shaky ground. Real worship acknowledges that you've got sickness in your body and the doctors don't know what to do. But because I love him, because I trust him, I can come to 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in the midst of my problems, in the midst of my pain, and still give God some praise. Where are my praises at? You better learn how to praise him. Anyhow. I say you better learn how to praise him. Anyhow. See, when you grow in God, you grow beyond just a because of praise. That's some of y'all. Amen. You can only praise him because of. Because. Let me check my account. Because my bank account looks good. Because my car is running smooth. Because my kids are acting right. I can give God praise. Amen. Amen. But you better figure out how to get a yet praise. And please understand, I'm not knocking a because of praise. You ought to praise him because of. You ought to praise him because your bills are paid. You ought to praise him because there's food on your table and clothes on your back. Yes, you ought to praise him for all of that. But if you're going to really walk this walk, if you're going to really live in this world and not lose your mind, you better get you a yet praise. Where are my yet praises? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. I need a yet praise. A yet praise. Can I tell you what a yet praise is? Well, if you want to know what a yet praise is, look up Brother Job. The Bible says that Job lost his flocks, he lost his finances, he lost his family, his flesh was jacked up, and the fidelity of his wife was gone. But he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's a yet praise. David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." That's a yet praise. Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail, but the Bible says at midnight, they prayed a prayer and sung a song, and they turned the jailhouse into a church house. That is a yet praise. Is there anybody here this morning that has a yet praise? Amen. Can you be real? Can you be honest and say, "Pastor, everything ain't 100 in my life, but I still got a praise. My children are acting crazy, sending me through all kind of confusion, but I come to Pleasant Hill today because I got a yet praise. My money is funny and my change is strange, but I'm not going to sit down on God. I'm not going to be quiet on God." The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I've got a yet praise. I've got a yet praise. I've got a yet praise. Come on and praise him this morning. You better learn. Stand on your feet, everybody. You better learn how to praise him.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
Lake Charles, 100.1.